Today's reading is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?"
In the 90s, there was a television programme called Home Improvement. Some of you might remember that, with Tim the Toolman Taylor. And often he was in the backyard of his house struggling with some dilemma that had befallen him or his family. And Wilson, the next door neighbour, would say, "Heidi ho, neighbour!" And they'd have a conversation over the fence. Wilson would quote some little-known philosopher to help solve Tim's problems, and when it was clear Tim wasn't getting it, Wilson would give him some sound, sage advice. I think we'd all love to have a Wilson next door, so we could go to him with our problems, and after spouting off some ancient jargon, would remind us of who we are, and where we are, and what's the best advice for our situation. In the reading that Jem's just read, Jesus explains the two commandments to a scribe. He told them the two greatest commandments were to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, followed by loving your neighbour. And in the scripture he goes on to quote the parable of the Good Samaritan. So what does it look like to love our neighbours as ourselves? As we dig more into the scripture, we'll see that a neighbour is not just your friendly next door neighbour, but everyone around you. We looked last week at the first part of the Shema from Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God, etc. Totally desiring God, love not a feeling, but a decision of the will. I will love God with everything I have, every fibre of my being. And if that's not enough, we come to the second part, which says, love your neighbour as yourself. In today's society, we may say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule. So what does it really mean to love your neighbour? I think Jesus got it right. We have to love God before we can love our neighbour. And we have to love ourselves. So many people compare themselves to others. Their appearance, their education, their knowledge, their ability to do seemingly everything well, their nice house, nice garden, nice car, nice kids. The list's endless. All these can conspire against how we feel about ourselves. I'm useless, I can't, just look at me, I'm hopeless. Fortunately for you and I, God does not see us like that. He loves you. Did you hear that? He loves you, just as you are. God knows all our faults, concerns, lacks, but he still loves you. Don't ever say, God can't love me because he does love you. You don't have to be a perfectly shaped movie star or fit like an All Black. God loves you as you are. Once we've got that through our heads, we can begin to love our neighbour. All of us have struggled or do struggle truly loving our neighbour, because our neighbour takes many forms. Some people we just click with and get on and like and get on with like a house on fire. but others push all the wrong buttons in us, and we reject or pull back so we don't have to make an effort. The issue isn't who our neighbour is and who we're supposed to be loving. It's a heart issue. Are we willing to show love, mercy, compassion, or will we get caught up in who should we help and love? How often? How much? Or will we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us? We're all different and in different places in our walk with God, but we should still be able to be united in love and stand firm in our beliefs and challenge each other on issues in our lives. There are 7 ways to show love to our neighbour. I'll see my neighbour. I'll love my neighbours, whoever they are, by truly seeing them. I'll look past the obvious, the outer shell, and I'll look into their eyes, their hearts, their circumstances. And if I'm blinded by my own bitterness or anger, I'll ask God to give me eyes to see His beloved creation as He does. I'll ask for forgiveness and offer it. I'll ask for forgiveness for the strongholds within my own heart that keep me from sympathizing with or loving someone else. If I'm closed off or indifferent towards a particular person or people group, I need to confess it before the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. And if I need to ask forgiveness from a neighbour, we must humble ourselves and apologise. Thirdly, I'll pray. I'll love my neighbours by praying for them, even if it's through gritted teeth at first. I'll beg God to give me a sincere heart, and I will petition and pray until I am sincere. I'll pray for my neighbour's circumstances, salvation, and walk with the Lord. I'll pray for the everyday and the momentous. I'll pray especially for the ones I least want to pray for. I'll rejoice and mourn. I'll walk alongside my neighbours, rejoice when they rejoice, mourn when they mourn. I'll bear the burden of pain and anguish because I know that Jesus is the ultimate burden bearer. And I'll shout for joy when they cry out in thanksgiving and praise. I'll learn and be teachable. Christ's ways are often hard and challenging, and I'll choose the harder path. I'll be teachable and I'll learn. I'll allow my neighbours to challenge my heart without taking offence or becoming bitter. I'll be teachable and mouldable. I'll accept criticism as the pathway that draws me closer to Christ. I won't be self-righteous or act like a know-it-all. I'll ask hard questions about myself. Why do I think the way I think? Why do I behave the way I behave? Was that right? Was it Christ-like? I won't accept the status quo. And I ask myself if I'm really living in accordance with the teachings of Christ, or if I'm just confused. Seventhly, I'll refuse to be judgmental, but I'll spur others to be like Christ. God calls us to spur others on to become more Christ-like, but again, our heart issues often get in the way. We often become self-righteous and judgmental, and we refuse to point out areas in others' lives where God wants to bring freedom and truth. We need to declare that we love our neighbours by refusing to house a judgmental spirit. to refuse to focus on the sin in my neighbour's life as opposed to the sin in my own life. I will, however, be bold enough to challenge my neighbour in love and to pray for areas of bondage, pain or sin in their lives. I love my neighbour by understanding that love doesn't always feel fuzzy, but often challenges and calls out something greater so they can experience the fullness of Christ. We need God's grace to be able to recognise the stuff in us that needs dealing with, or some of our old stuff will spill out all over our neighbours. Remember, as believers, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Has it in your life and mine? We're not to go by our feelings or personal preferences in dealing with others, but treat everyone fairly. We all have faults, but Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another." And that's what the world saw in the early church. See how much they love each other. God had every right to ignore us, as we are sinners of the first order, but he chose to love us. You and I must look past the faults, the habits, the actions, and love our neighbours. And when misunderstanding or conflict occurs, we're not to fixate on the other person's faults, but to look at ourselves. Luke 6, 41 and 42. "And why do you see the speck in your own eye, in your brother's eye, and don't see the plank in your own eye?" We are to reflect on our own issues. Allow God to change us. We can be very selfish. Our way is the best way and the only way. I know better than the other person. When others hurt us, we must be tolerant and forgiving. What are our reactions when we're hurt? We can resent them and desire revenge. Neither of these approaches is good or positive. Matthew 6:14, "If you forgive men their sin, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." No matter how someone has hurt our feelings, or their words or actions impact our lives, we are to show tolerance, patience, and forgiveness. Not attack them back or vigorously point out their mistakes. Forgive. Not easy, but the only way. And again, it comes down to grace. Are we prepared to act in a loving, graceful way? Or do we literally go to war against the other person? Jesus told us we're to love our neighbours as ourselves. To extend the love we have for ourselves and for God to all those around us. The understanding is that our neighbours are not just the friendly Wilsons next door, but God's children all around us, who God has called us to reach out to when maybe others pass them by. You and I may not be philosophers quoting Wilson, but you can be the caring neighbour who never lets anyone forget that you love God and love others. Experience has taught me that when I'm so consumed by my own problems, however big or small, the only thing that overcomes the worry or the concern, the constant looking at the problem from every angle, looking for a solution only God can bring, the answer is to go and minister to someone else. Love your neighbour. It really works. You forget your own pain and problems, etc., and you focus on someone else. You listen and then you pray for them. All the reformers in society had been started by Christians who saw people as human beings, as neighbours in need of God's grace, and in need of someone to look to love them as they were. Slavery, hospitals, prison reform, child labour, hospices, medical research, leper colonies, all these were established by people who loved their neighbours. We as the church need to push that idea. We are a place where sinners are accepted. We don't try and change them, that's God's job. We're just to love them no matter what they are, in or do. Look at Jackie Pullinger in the opium dens of China. Hudson Taylor also in China. Christians in Russia who stood up despite the consequences from the state and saw communism fall. Is it not time in this country to say enough is enough? We have some of the most liberal laws in the whole world as regards abortion, gender, sexuality, conversion therapy. We've witnessed an organisation like Family First, which has promoted the nuclear family, mum, dad and kids, for years, and their charitable status has been removed because the government objected. We're to welcome and love our neighbours. They need to feel safe here because we love them, because God has forgiven and loves them. We're to be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. Loving your neighbour is hard work. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. We need the help, power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Only then can we love our neighbours as we love ourselves. And that's the challenge. We all need to look at our relationship with God. Do we really love Jesus? Do we really understand and appreciate what he's done for us? Appreciated so much that it makes a difference in how we see life, spend our money and time. When we get that relationship in order, then we can love our neighbours. But that is not a let you off the hook clause. Because whatever our relationship with Jesus, we are commanded to love our neighbours. So, who gets up your nose? Who do you ignore or avoid? They are just as much your neighbour as the person who is a friend already.